you, thank you, thank you. What if we could just pray? That'd be fantastic. Lord, we're just so aware of your goodness towards us, so aware of your kindness. We love how you are in the quiet moments as well as the craziness of our lives at times. And we thank you that you're here in this place this morning. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are amongst us. And so we thank you that you're here. And there's things that you've already been doing, and there's things that you're wanting to do. And right now we open wide our hearts and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Thanks, team. You guys are awesome. How awesome are our worship team, man? These guys, I've so missed being able to worship with you guys. And I think we've got some of the best worship going. I mean, worship's great. I'm not talking about our worship's better than other people. You know what I mean. I'm jet lagged. You've got to forgive me today. But I do want to start out by just saying, there's nothing like being back with family. Not only my natural family, but church family. And I do want to say just a heartfelt thank you to all of you. If you're watching online, I know there's been many people praying for us just with the recent passing of my dad. And I've been so aware of being carried by your prayers and of our family here, just being ministered to by just, I came back to a house full of flowers. I've got flowers everywhere. I've never seen so many flowers in my house. There's meals. There's all kinds of things that have been going on. And we just want to say a heartfelt thank you from us to you. That's what church family is. And so to me, it's a testament of the health of our church, just to be on the receiving end of all of that. So thank you from us to you, and it's great to be home. And who loves home?
Yeah.
I love just coming home. As much as it's great to be there, out in other places, there's something about home that is important. Well, as we said, today is our Heart for the House Pledge Sunday. We launched our Heart for the House campaign two Sundays ago, and I was here, but I wasn't here. I was here on screens and all of that, and in fact, even this morning, I said, look, I'm just going to see how I'm doing. I want to preach, but if I fall over, I've told the team, just keep on playing the message from where I am. All right, on the screens. It's already been recorded, so they won't even notice if I'm not standing up here anymore. I'll just be on the floor asleep. But I'm feeling great. But we launched our campaign 2 weeks ago, and our Heart for the House campaign is all about sowing into the unfolding legacy that is Fusion City Church. And we've just come off the back of a week of prayer. I was just saying to someone, it's the first week of prayer in 14 years of the life of the church that I haven't been at. And what was so cool was to know that things just carried on, and then prayer, and there was engagement and faith, and already been hearing of miracles that God's been doing, supernatural things that are just incredible. And I'll just say, I love the heart of our church, that it's not built around a person, but it's built around Jesus. And that's what we want. We want a church that is built around Jesus. And Heart for the House is our opportunity to sow into that unfolding legacy. Because I hope you realize that whatever God has done in these last 14 years, he hasn't finished. Yes. Hello? He hasn't finished. There's still so much more that he wants to do. And our vision as a church, you would know it well if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard it repeatedly, is that our vision is to be a legacy-building church. What does that mean? It means that we don't just live for the here and now. We understand that God is building something that's going to outlive us. And so we're a legacy-building church whose heart it is to help people to know and enjoy God, to discover their purpose, and to make a difference. That's what feeds everything about what we do, is we're passionate about seeing those things realized in your life and to help one another walk into the fullness of what that means. And here's the thing about legacy. A legacy is something that outlives us. It's what we hand on for generations to come. It's something that people remember, but it's also something the Bible says that God remembers. And so God remembers the legacy. Legacy is where your life lives on. I had the incredible opportunity, I'll be able to talk about it more at some other point, but be able to speak to my dad while he's in this induced coma, and we know that because his vitals would go up when we talked to him, his eyes would flutter, and so we know there was something going on there. And I said to him at one point, I said, Dad, you need to know that there are so many people praying for you right now, and people that you've never met. But I said this to him, I said, but you have, but here's the thing, people that have never met you. But I said, here's the cool thing, they have actually met you because they've met me. Yeah. Yeah. You see, there's a legacy that lives on. And the same thing is if you my kids, there's going to be something of me that you're going to see in them. But a legacy is what outlives us. What I do for myself usually will die with me. But what I do for others and for the kingdom will always outlive me. And so there's something in that. We've been looking at that over these weeks. And our response today is what seeds tomorrow. Because life is not just about the here and now. It's about what's still to come. It's about what Jesus has purposed. It's about that preferred future that he has for us to step into individually, but also collectively as a people. It's where I live beyond myself. And our response in this time is really critical. Our response today is what ends up seeding tomorrow. You know, as a granddad to little Evie, and we've got another grandchild coming in January as well, and for your kids and your grandkids and your great kids and for people that aren't here, I hope that they look back on our generation. I hope they look back on us gathered here today and say, thank God for them. Thank God for their faith. Thank God for their God adventures. Thank God that we can stand on their shoulders and we can walk into all that unfolding future that God has for us, because that generation decided that they want to live and leave a great legacy. And our heart for the house, we've been talking about it over these weeks, is divide into three main things. It's in those brochures that you've got. You've been emailed, so you should be familiar with it. But let me recap. It's three things that we're trusting God for this year. The first thing is our legacy, which is all about us trusting God to be able to purchase a building, purchase some land as a forever home. We have 2.5 years left on this lease and the lease next door, and we've got options to renew, so our future's secure. But how cool would it be if we have a forever home? Someone actually saw them clearing the bushes up the road from the building here, and they said to me, maybe that's the land that God's clearing for us. I'm like, amen. Come on, bring it on. But how good would it be, not just for our self-enjoyment, but so that it can be a platform for ministry, a platform for God to continue what he wants to do, not only in our generation, but generations to come. And so that's our legacy. But there's a second part, which is our community. In our community, we're saying our heart for the house this year is focused also on our community, where we want to continue the work, the amazing work that Fusion Community Care have been able to do as we seek to be the hands, face, and touch of Jesus to a world that's in desperate need. And so it's been so cool that we've been able to fund some roles and programs, and we're looking to fund more around that. We spoke already about the barbecue trailer, which has been a miracle in itself. 50% of that was paid for by a federal grant that we received, and we're looking to offset the balance. But we're already, if you arrived a little bit early, you would have been blessed by it. It's going to be an amazing tool to reach the community. And so we're so excited. And then we're also being committed. We're committed to supporting some church planters Pastor Leighton and Grace Gallagher, who in July relocated to Indonesia to actually go and pioneer ultimately a church in a city called Malang, which is right near one of Indonesia's most unreached people groups. And if you want to see, I've got a 10-minute interview with them on our website under Heart for the House that you can go check out and go see. And I'm really just, we're really behind them. We've already sown some finance into supporting them, and we want to continue to do so, because we want to sow into the nations, and particularly those that we believe are doing it in a godly way and in a way that is going to be fruitful. And so that's our community. But then there's a third aspect to this, which is, so it's our legacy, our community, but then also our home, where we have a range of things that we're looking to do in order to increase our effectiveness as a ministry. And so you can look at the details of all of those in the brochures if you haven't already done that. But last year, we've been making a point of letting you know, because I think if we're going into a campaign, you want to know, well, what have we done previously? And last year, in our Heart for the House campaign, there was a total of $93,000 pledged, a little over that, and we had $92,500 come in. It was 99% of what was pledged came in, which is amazing, not only the amounts, but the fact that we were in lockdown. When we did that, we were in lockdown. We weren't gathering like this. It was all online. It was like you guys watching online right now. That was incredible, an incredible God miracle that took place through that. And out of that, we saw 40,000 was saved towards a future deposit for land or building. 15,000 of that went towards ministry legacy costs, which is about future ministry opportunities that we might have. We had 37,500 that was allocated to community programs and positions. positions and those things, which is amazing that we're able to do that. And of that, we had around we've got $240,000 in our, I think it's actually now closer to $250,000, because at the end of financial year, we were able to put some more money into that account. So it's like $250,000 that's actually sitting ready for deposit for land or building. I think that's something just to give God praise for what's going on at the moment. And so it's been amazing. Our faith goal for this year is $200,000 that we're believing just to really kind of reach into all those areas. And based on what he has done, if that's what can happen during lockdown, what can God do when we're not in lockdown? And we're the people who have exercised their faith. And so over these weeks, we've looked, I've spoken week one about it, living and leaving a legacy of faith. In week two, I spoke about living and leaving a legacy of generosity. And then this week, I want to speak about another thing, which is living and leaving a legacy of impact. Living and leaving a legacy of impact. I hope you realize that every decision that you and I make, every action that we take, can either have a positive or a negative outcome. Even when it seems like nothing has really changed in the immediate, when you've made a decision, there will always be some kind of long-term impact. And that impact will either be positive or it'll be negative. You see, the choice is ours. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 through to 19. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. That's a word for someone right now. You needed to hear that this morning. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves. There it is, legacy, as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So these words are some of the final words of a spiritual father, Paul, to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he shares these words about how to live and leave this spiritual legacy that is good, God, and great. And he says this is kind of headline message out of what he says. It says, make sure that you leave a legacy that has both godly hearts, but also godly impact. Yes. It must have godly hearts, but also godly impact. And so important is this message that he uses this very strong word. He says, command those that are rich. Some translations would interpret it as instruct or entreat. Instruct or entreat. And the image is one, most commentators would say, the image is one of someone who's an expert, an authorized leader, coming alongside another to give detailed instruction as to what to do in order to have maximum impact. That's what that word kind of means. It reminded me of the illustration of learning to drive. I'm so glad I'm past those years. Because I think I aged a few times over when I was helping teach my kids to drive. And here's one of the things, is that a driving instructor is a beautiful thing. I found that it actually preserved my relationship with my kids when we had a driving instructor actually carry some of those responsibilities. It was so much easier. And I remember them coming, and when the driving instructor's role was this, they would come alongside, they would sit close alongside, and every step of the way, they're instructing, do this, do that, do this, right, change gear now, watch this, have you noticed that, have you done this, and that's what they do. And it was amazing, when my kids listened, and they actually listened to the instructor, and they took it all in, it's amazing how they would walk in the door. They would be like, hey Dad, guess where I've been? I'm like, where you been? I've just come in from a driving lesson. And their chest is out here. And then guess how many competencies I got ticked off today? Like, one? No, Dad. How dare you, one? I got 3 competencies ticked off today, Dad. I'm like, man, that's awesome. That's amazing. You know, because here's the thing is, I want to make sure that when it comes to driving lessons, that my kids are actually having a positive impact, not a negative one, if you know what I mean. I want them to go out there on the road, have a positive impact, not a negative impact. But if they were to go and not listen to the driving instructor and just say, well, I know best and just I'm going to do what I want to do, the chances are that they'd probably end up having a negative impact and not a positive one. Yeah. Probably do themselves some damage, probably do damage to others. And it's the same when it comes to certain spiritual principles that we've got to think about, because they need to be learned and to be caught, like seeking to live a life of impact. Why do I say that? Because the God of self will always try and draw you away from that. The God of self doesn't want to look after others. The God of self wants to look after self. Yeah. And the God of self wants us to do so. But Jesus modeled something so different. Jesus modeled a life of service. He modeled a sacrificial life, a life of impact, a life of love for others, a life of compassion, a life of generosity, a life of kingdom legacy, a life of sowing into something larger than just ourselves. And he gives us his word to help us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us. And he gives us one another to come alongside and enable us to be effective for the kingdom and to have great impact for him. You know, a city like Canberra and a nation like Australia, I hope you all realize that we're rich. I've just come from Africa. And let me assure you, there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of people without. There's a lot of lack. And I don't want to make a generalization, because I realize in certain sectors of our community, there would be people that really are doing a tough buy. But by and large, most of us that are in this room or watching online, we would be considered rich comparatively to the rest of the world. And Paul's urging is that don't fix your eyes on your riches. He says, fix your eyes on your hope in God. You see, riches is not where it's at. Because I've met some of the richest people in the poorest places. I've been to some of the most impoverished places, and I've seen some of the most spiritually rich people. The most emotionally rich people. Why? Because I understand that it's not in the riches. Our hope needs to be first and foremost in God, who's the provider of it all. And then it's from that place that you then seek to do good and be generous and to live a life of kingdom impact. That's where godly legacy is formed, when we understand that it's what you and I are called to do. Our generosity, our good works, our life of impact must come from a place of thankfulness and worship and deep appreciation to Jesus for all that he's done for us. And Paul's urging and instructing and commanding and entreating of them comes from that place. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus first. Give yourself to him first. And then from that place, then sow in and seek to live a life of impact. So many are running around trying to live a life of impact. Jesus says, no, start with me first. And when we start with him, that's where it's at. You know, when I think of living a life of kingdom impact, one of the stories I'm always drawn to is the account of the Good Samaritan that's found in Luke chapter 10. And some of you would know it well. But in Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 and 26, we see an expert of the law coming to Jesus, and he asks him this question. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's kind of like he's almost asking this question about how can I ensure that I'm living and leaving a great kingdom legacy and ensure that I'm going to be right with God for eternity? And Jesus responds to the question. And actually asks him this question about what's written in the law, the very thing that he was an expert in. And he says this in verse 27. And the expert in the law replies. He says, this is what it says. He says, love the Lord your God with everything you have. Why don't you say everything?
Everything.
Not with some things, not with part things, with everything that you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus replies, do that, and you will live. So the key to living the abundant life that Jesus would have for us is to do exactly this. And there's two things that Paul mentions here that are important for us, and the order is important. He says, firstly, love God, be impacted. And then from that place, love others, be the impact. So be impacted, and then be the impact. Be impacted, and then be the impact. Be impacted, and then be the impact. See, no one's forcing you to do anything in this Heart for the House campaign. You can choose to participate, you can choose not to participate, but we're saying just seek God first, allow him to impact you, and then from that place, seek to be the impact.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know when my eyes are focused on him, it's amazing what a difference it makes. And what's fascinating here is that this expert of the law doesn't kind of leave it there and accept that. He kind of says this in verse 29. He says, but he wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You could almost see he's trying to justify, why am I loving here? Why am I having an impact there, but I'm not having an impact in other places? He's trying to justify why his impact was selective and not to everyone. And Jesus sees straight through that and answers with this account of the Good Samaritan, which we're going to read from verse 30. And you can follow with me on your screen, on the screens, and Luke 10, verse 30. I'm going to read through the verse 37. It says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So right here, we have this incredible kind of example of what Jesus is teaching them about what it means to have a life of impact. He says, do this, and you're going to live exactly what I'm saying. And the first thing, I see three things here in this story that I just want to quickly highlight this morning. And the first thing is this. Understands that the needs are real. The needs are real. In verse 30, we see that this man was beaten. He was left by the side of the road. He was robbed. He was half naked and almost dead. Not because of any fault of his own, but simply because of the world we live in, stuff happens. And you don't have to look very hard to find the needs in our world. You don't have to look very hard to find them in Canberra. You don't have to look very far. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And Jesus has birthed the church. He's birthed this church. He's called you and I to be the answer to those needs. He wants us as a community, as a people, to be a place of impact. So if that's Jesus' heart, what is our response to those needs? Because how we treat and care and impact the lives of others is really a reflection of how we see God. Because remember what I said, when you've been impacted, then you will be an impact.
Yes. Right.
And when you understand how great is our salvation and how much God has done for us, then you're going to seek to live a life of impact. I had the opportunity to share with a group of pastors and elders from the church that we originally came from back in South Africa. They invited me to come speak with them. And so I was speaking to them about rediscovering the joy of our salvation. And isn't it fascinating? I'm sitting talking to a room of pastors talking about discovering the joy of our salvation. Because how many of you know it can sometimes we can lose sight of it?
Yeah.
How many of you know that sometimes we need to come back to how great it is, the work that Jesus has done on our behalf? And when you understand that, your response will be totally, totally different. You know, the priest and the Levite's response was pretty much, if I stop and help this man, what's going to happen to me? That was their response. They were kind of saying, what's going to happen to me? See, it was a me-centered worldview that they were living in at that point. But the Samaritan, the man who was culturally despised by the Jews and was least considered to be a hero in any sense in the story, says, well, if I don't stop and help this man, what's going to happen to him? See the difference? Two of them are saying, what's going to happen to me? That's the me-centered world in which we live. But Jesus ushered in something different and said, no, it's not about the me, it's about the them. What will happen to them? And so Jesus says, follow the heart of this guy and you will live. The heart of the gospel is to love people and to have a kingdom impact, especially to those who are in need. You know, we as a church are not just here. We don't exist just to make ourselves feel good. We don't have meetings to make ourselves feel good. This building's not here just to make us feel good. These are just tools, vehicles, launching pads, things that God wants to use so that we can have maximum impact for the kingdom.
Yes, that's right.
This is not the aim. This is not the goal. The goal is people. The goal is extending the kingdom. The goal is to see Jesus made famous and to be made much of, and people to experience the love, touch, and hope of Jesus Christ in their lives. I love that. The need is real. The need is now. And through our Heart for the House campaign, we have an opportunity to actually meet those needs. The second thing that I see, not only are the needs real, but the second thing that I see is that we don't want to be those that pass on by. In this account in Luke, we find two very sad responses to the desperate plight of this man. So even though the need was real, there were two responses that were extremely sad. And the first one was of a priest. And the priest, this man whose life was wholly devoted to God, you would have thought, this is the guy that's definitely going to stop and make a difference. He says he literally sees the man in need, but he chooses to pass by on the other side of the road. So he sees the need, but he chooses a different response. He actively passes on by to the other side. And I want you to just think about that for a moment. Maybe he had his reasons. Maybe he was late for a meeting. Maybe he was kind of just in a rush to get home. Maybe there was some other kind of reason. But of all the people here, would have thought, surely he's going to be the one to stop. But he passes on by. And sometimes I think we can become so professional in our faith, so familiar with a need, that we do exactly the same. We just pass on by. I'm sure on that road he had probably seen many needs. But this time, he chose to walk on by and not actually meet the need. And Jesus has said, that's not my heart. My heart is that we're a people who involve ourselves and are seeking to make a difference, whoever that is. And so we can become professional in our faith. And I just wonder how many times we're passing on by. We become so familiar with the need that we've lost the heart. And in this Heart for the House, we have an opportunity to demonstrate heart. To actually realize we see the need. And we just want to display the heart of Jesus. But then there's a second person, the Levites, this lay person who assists the priest, and that was his typical role in all things in the temple, and probably people like many of us here, because what I love about our church is that we have a church where we encourage people to get involved and participate. We're not one of those churches where you have to almost be in one foot into heaven in order to serve in this church. We're kind of saying, man, we've got a role for everyone, no matter where you're at. We'll find something for you to do, because we believe that that's what church should be, a place where people can contribute and make a difference. And everyone has a role to play. What I loved is that with me having at short notice being away for 10 days and there's weeks of prayer and all kinds of stuff that's going on, I love the fact that we have a team that life carried on, church carried on in the most amazing way. And I'm so thankful for that. But this Levite, one of you, this volunteer, you kind of think, well, maybe he would stop because he's got a heart to serve and surely his, but he too passes by on the other side. Maybe he had any reasons. Maybe he was aware that the priests had gone ahead of him and he was late. He was going to be in trouble if he didn't get there. Maybe there was some other reason that he had to do. Maybe there was some other commitment. And don't we all have other commitments? Yeah. We've always got commitments. Yeah. Or maybe he thought, like many of us might think, that someone else will do it. Maybe he thought someone else will do it. And I think I've been guilty of that before. Maybe just like the priest, he had lost sight of what his faith was actually all about. Maybe he just didn't see himself as the answer to that need. No evil intent, just distracted by life. And how many times can we fall into the same trap? We don't see ourselves as the answer. We think someone else will do it. We get distracted by life. And so we see a man there that's in desperate need, but even though we see it, we don't really see it. Because we don't see ourselves as being part of the solution. But Jesus has called us to live a life of impact. And that leads me to my third point, which is simply this: be the difference. Be the difference. The Samaritan has a different response. You know, as I said, they were deeply and culturally despised by the Jews. They were seen as lesser. And led in this story, he's the one who actually stops and helps. and seeks to have an impact. Listen to what it says in verse 33. It says, when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put him on his own donkey and brought him to the inn and took care of him. You see, the Samaritan took the step to stop and examine the wound. So he saw the need, but he got close enough to really see the need. And he really saw the need, and then he bandages him. He basically gets this, well, I'm actually going to be part of the solution to meeting that need. And then he puts him on his own donkey. He says, I'm not going to leave it up to someone else. I'm going to personally invest. I'm going to inject myself into this story. I'm not going to leave it to someone else to do. I'm going to be the impact. And it says in verse 35, he says, the next day, he took out two denarii, which is about the equivalent of a day's wage back in that time, and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and I will return and I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. And Jesus says, this guy, he's the guy that I want you to be like. This guy was making a difference. He didn't leave it to anyone else. He says, oh, I've got a role to play in this. And what I love about it is that he personally invests and keeps on investing as long as there's need. Some people say, how come you have Heart for the House every year? Well, it's simple, because there's needs every year. That's why. As long as there's need, there's going to be an opportunity for us to seek to be the impact that God would have us be. And so Jesus cared so much that he gave his life for yours and mine. And now he says, just as I've loved you, just as I've impacted you, he says, now I want you to go and be the impact. You have been impacted, now you go and be the impact. 1 John 3 verse 16 says, this is how we know what true love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Let's not just be those that talk about it. Let's be those that live it. Let's be those that live it. Seeking to live a legacy life of impact is not what we do. It's who we are, because of the transforming work of Jesus within us. I want you to imagine for a moment how impacted the life of this man who had been beaten was by the touch of that Samaritan man. We don't know whether he was married, we don't know if he had kids, but let's say he did, and maybe his spouse would have found out, his kids would have found out, certainly his neighbors and his community would have found out, and they would have heard how a priest walked by, they would have heard about how a Levite walked by, but they would have heard also how a Samaritan, one who was the least expected, stopped and invested and had an impact. And to test me, he would tell over and over and over again. Never underestimate the impact that your participation can have. It's not about how much, it's about having a heart to say, actually, I want to make a difference. And if we do that collectively, I believe there's an incredible God miracle that's waiting to happen. We've got to see the need. We don't want to pass on by, and we want to be the difference if we're going to live a life of legacy impact. And so won't you stand with me, please?